Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Seminary. This podcast is a variety of audio resources from around Southeastern. To learn more about Southeastern, visit sebts.edu. Well, good morning, and it is my honor to also welcome you to this great day of graduation for these students, and students in particular. Congratulations. We are very, very proud of you. Several years ago, Larry King, many of you that are at least my age or not quite as old as I am, would recognize that name for many, many years. He did interviews on Larry King Live on CNN, and he interviewed over many years some of the most amazing, some of the most popular, some of the most controversial, some of the most well-known people in all of the world. And in October of 1990, the Los Angeles Times ran a story called Larry King's Fantasy Interview. Who would it be with? And he was asked the question, if you could interview anybody in all of history, who would that person be? And Larry King responded, and I quote, I would ask him, he said, I would like to interview Jesus Christ. I would ask him if he believed that he was born of a virgin, because whatever the answer is, it changes the world. And then a number of years later, again, when he was being interviewed, he was asked, if you landed an interview with God, what would you ask him if you had only one question? And he said, that's easy. I would ask God, did you have a son? Because if he said no, it is chaos for the world. Well, the text that Dr. Holloway just read answers both of those questions. They are good questions, and there are great answers. First of all, yes, Jesus was virgin born. And yes, God does have a son. And he sent that son into this world to save us, which is why here at Southeastern Seminary, we talk incessantly about going. Taking the gospel across America, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, because indeed, Jesus was virgin born, and indeed, God has sent a son to save us from our sins. Referring back to the verses that were just read, I want to encourage this graduating class, but also everyone that is here today, of three marvelous truths that just leap out of these verses concerning the story of the birth of Jesus as we have it in Matthew's gospel. Truth number one, God still does the supernatural. God still does the supernatural. Now, the virgin birth, not surprisingly, has been controversial, really going all the way back to its origin. And people have questioned it. People have denied it. People have lampooned it. But the Bible does not present the virgin birth as a myth. It does not present the virgin birth as a fable or a legend, but rather the Bible straightforwardly, both in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, present the virgin birth as a historical fact, a supernatural act of God, whereby he invaded space and time and comes to live in the midst of his people. And the bottom line is this. Problems with the virgin birth are almost always problems with the supernatural and problems with God. As C.S. Lewis wonderfully said in his classic book, Miracles, if God exists, miracles are both possible and miracles are to be expected. And so in Matthew's account, we are told now the birth, the genesis of Jesus Christ, it's intentionally connected back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 because the birth of Jesus indeed is a brand new beginning for the world. Now, the birth of Jesus, of course, his name in Greek is Yeshua. His name in Hebrew is Joshua. His name means God saves. And as Christ, he is indeed the Messiah, the sent one, the anointed one of God. Now, in the ESV, the Bible says his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Now, we need to understand that betrothals are not something that we're common to know of in this culture and in this day, but they were prominent among the Jewish people in the first century. A betrothal, I often say, is more than an engagement. but it is less than a full-blown marriage. In fact, there was a ceremony, and they were legally joined together, though they had not yet come together and consummated the marriage through intimacy. In fact, it was such a binding covenant and binding contract that it could only be broken by a legal divorce. And if you go back into the Old Testament and you read from Deuteronomy chapter 22, you also know that the betrothal period was kind of a time of testing where each of the mates demonstrated, and particularly the woman, their faithfulness to the person that they were marrying. And if they were found to be unfaithful, to have committed an act of adultery during the betrothal, they could actually be put to death by stoning, though that was very rare in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible is crystal clear. Mary was a virgin. Before she came together with her husband Joseph, the Bible says she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. In other words, what happened was absolutely supernatural. In fact, it's only happened once, and it will never, ever happen again. And indeed, God found a woman of such holiness, such purity, such godliness, that His Spirit could come and rest upon her and allow her to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now again, many times skeptics and folks that do not believe in supernaturalism will say, well, they were all sorts of virgin births back during the time of Christ, and this is just another one of them. But if you look at the other quote-unquote virgin birth stories, you discover they are radically, radically different than what we find in the Bible. Let me just give you a couple of examples. There is no hint in the virgin birth of Mary of sexual abuse by some type of divinity, such as the god Apollo, who in the form of a snake impregnated the mother of the emperor Octavius. There's nothing here of the pagan lust of the Greek god Zeus, who descended upon the woman Diana in a rain of gold and caused her to conceive and bear a son named Perseus. It is nothing like the myths surrounding the birth of Alexander the Great, whose mother Olympias was awakened by a clap of thunder, struck by a lightning bolt in her womb, causing a fire, which after being extinguished led to the birth of her son. Nor is it like the illegitimate birth of that was propagated in the Jewish Talmud, arguing that actually Jesus was conceived when Mary had relations with a Roman soldier named Pandera. No, the birth of Jesus was nothing like any of these things. It was supernatural from beginning to end. It was a virgin conception. But not only should we recognize the holiness, the righteousness, the purity of Mary, we should also not forget about her husband, Joseph. The Bible says in verse 18 that Joseph was found to be and in verse 19, a righteous man, a just man. I think in the context, the idea he was a good man, a kind man, a compassionate man. And this was the man that God deemed worthy to be the father, the earthly father of his son. So God honors Mary, and God honors Joseph, and God helps us understand that those who walk with Him faithfully as His servants, even in great difficulty, sometimes even in great humility and humiliation, God honors them and God blesses them. Yes, God still does the supernatural. But number two, God came to save us by living among us. He came to save us by living among us. The Bible says again in verse 19, now Joseph, being a just man, was unwilling to put her to shame. He resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph has a dilemma, doesn't he? He loves God, and I believe he loves Mary. And he is heartbroken. He is stunned. He cannot believe that this woman that he had placed his great trust in had been unfaithful to him. Now, before you condemn Joseph, just ask yourself, well, how would I respond if the woman that I was going to marry suddenly came to me and said, well, I've got some good news and some surprising news. The good news is I'm pregnant, and the surprising news is I'm still a virgin. I doubt many of us would be persuaded by such an argument. And God, I think, recognized that. And so verse 20 tells us, as Joseph weighed these things, as Joseph considers these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And the angel simply said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her pregnancy is a supernatural happening. She still is a virgin. She has been faithful to you. And Joseph, I will let you know in advance that God has determined that she will give birth to a son. And both you and the mother, Luke emphasizing the role of Mary, Matthew the role of Joseph, you will call him Jesus. And then perhaps the key verse in all of this passage, some might even argue the key verse in the entirety of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Man's greatest need, salvation. Man's greatest enemy, sin. And I don't care who you are today, and I know that there are a number of you that are here today, and I'm so glad that you have come to honor the graduate that you know and that you love. But I also know that there's some of you that are here today, and you've never trusted in Christ. The church, for whatever reason, is not important to you. Perhaps, like many people that I've encountered through my 45 years of ministry, something happened in the past. The church hurt you. The church wounded you. The church mistreated you in some sort of a way. And I just want to say to you this morning, if that is indeed the case, I'm sorry. I am so sorry, and I wish to apologize, because I want to say to you this morning, don't let past hurts from a church that did not act in the way it should get in the way of you coming to Jesus, who would never mistreat you, never be unkind to you. Indeed, he loves you so very much, he died on a Roman cross to pay in full the penalty of every single sin you would ever commit. Yes, Matthew has the nation of Israel in mind when he says, she will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. And I think in the context, they would have understood that to be the people of Israel from their sins. But it's at that point that I love to run to John's gospel, where he extends it out. And in that wonderful, wonderful verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave, that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but that they should indeed be blessed with eternal life. And so God came to save his people from their sins. And so we understand God still does the supernatural, and God came to save us by living among us. And then number three, God still keeps his promises. Matthew tells us in verse 22 that all of this was the fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken through the prophet, and the prophet was Isaiah. And the passage is Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name, they shall give him the designation, the title, Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. In this prophecy, you actually have a beautiful blending of both the humanity of Christ, but also the deity of Christ as well. Our Savior, as you know, is fully human. He's not some human. He's not mostly human. He is all human. He has a 100% human nature. That's why the Bible can say that Mary will bring forth a son, that the virgin will be with child and bear a son, that she will give birth to a son. And so he is in every way like you and me, with one glorious exception: without sin. Without sin. Paul makes that very clear, that we get his righteousness because he had no sin. Hebrews teaches us that though he was tempted in every way as we are, he bore every temptation without sin. And let me again remind all of us that are here this morning, this is an area where amazingly, even those who claim to be born again, and those who claim to be evangelical, and those who claim to be Christian, have waffled in this area. And there was a survey several years ago, to my utter amazement, 25% of all those who claim to be born again also claimed that during his life, Jesus committed sin. Well, let's just clear that up this morning. If Jesus committed even a single sin, then he is a sinner. And that means he too needs a Savior, and he could not be the Savior. But the Bible is consistent in his witness. He never sinned a single sin. He always perfectly obeyed the will of God, both actively and passively. And because he was sinless, he could indeed go to the cross and bear in his body the sins of the whole world, which also means for every one of us here today, he has paid in full the penalty of all of your sins. But yes, he is human, but he is also fully divine. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. And because he is God with us in the cradle, he can be God for us on the cross. Chuck Swindoll, the wonderful Bible teacher in Dallas, Texas, said this of the coming of our Savior: "The most significant event of the centuries took place in a manger. Yes, Mary had a little lamb, and her little lamb was destined for sacrifice. There was a tiny lamb in Bethlehem who was destined for Golgotha's altar. And yes, the king in the cradle would become the king on the cross so that he might save his people from their sins." I always make sure that when we have a December graduation, we sing Christmas hymns. I love the Christmas hymns. They bring joy. They bring happiness. They remind us just how great is the love of our God. But you know, there are some of those hymns that for whatever reason are not as well known as others. And over the years, as I've worked my way through Christmas hymns, both in hymnals and in historical works and others, I've come across one particular hymn that I think so beautifully captures the truth of what we've read today and looked at briefly in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. The hymn is simply entitled, "That Beautiful Name." Most of you probably never heard it, but I pray that after today you'll not forget the beautiful words that are contained within it. "I know of a name, a beautiful name, that angels brought down to earth. They whispered it low one night long ago to a maiden of lowly birth. I know of a name, a beautiful name, that unto a baby was given. The stars glittered bright throughout that glad night, and angels praised God in heaven." Now listen. "The one of that name, my Savior became, my Savior of Calvary. My sins nailed him there, my burdens to bear. He suffered all this for me." I love that blessed name, that wonderful name, made higher than all in heaven. 'Twas whispered, I know, in my heart long ago, to Jesus my life I've given. That beautiful name from sin has power to free us. That beautiful name, that wonderful name, that matchless name is Jesus. I want you to pray with me for just a moment. This morning, as I said a moment ago, I'm aware of the fact that there are some of you that are here and you've never, for whatever reason, repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus. I want you to know a couple of things. Number one, these graduates prayed for you yesterday. If you're here today and you're a dad or a mom or a grandparent or a brother or a sister or a friend and you've never trusted Christ, I just want you to know that graduate that you're here to honor today prayed specifically for you yesterday. Simply asking that God might surprise you in a wonderful way by opening your heart today to repent of your sins and to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And if you are here today and through the singing that has already been sung and through the reading of the Bible and this brief explanation of the Scriptures, if you're here today and you recognize, you know, I'm not a Christian. I did get hurt in the past, maybe by the church, maybe by somebody else. Something happened, and for whatever reason, I just kind of reached a point in my life where I just thought, this whole religious scene is a sham, and I don't need it. Well, I'm not talking about religion this morning. I'm talking about a relationship with Emmanuel, God with us. And I want to go back to John 3:16 one more time. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I do not care, even more importantly, God does not care what you may have done. He loves you. He died for you. He was raised from the dead. And He will save you today if you will just ask Him. So if that's where you are today, I'm going to do something that one of my heroes, Billy Graham, did for years and years and years in his crusades. I'm going to lead us in a sinner's prayer. There's nothing magical about the words, but if they are true to your heart, God will hear them, God will answer your prayer, and God will save you. So just pray this prayer with me right now. Just pray it in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you came into this world through the virgin birth. And I thank you that you lived a perfect, sinless life just for me and for the world. I thank you that because you love me, you died on the cross and suffered all of that pain and separation and judgment in my place. And I thank you that 3 days later you were raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. And so I call on your name right now. Please save me. And Lord Jesus, I believe you keep your word. And I believe, as your word teaches, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm calling. Save me. I believe you will. And Lord Jesus, I do believe with all of my heart that you indeed will answer the prayer of a sinner who comes to you in faith and repentance. And I thank you that your word is true, that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, if in the last moment someone in this auditorium has prayed to trust you as their Lord and Savior, when we leave in just a little while, having celebrated the graduation of these men and women, I hope they'll find that particular graduate that they came to see today. And I pray that they will just go up to them and say, I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. And then, by the way, when Danny led in that prayer, I prayed it. I asked Jesus to save me. And I believe he has. Lord, there'll be celebration for the graduation, but there'll be even more celebration for the salvation of these we love. So, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that you became God with us through the coming of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And thank you that he indeed came to save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And we make this prayer in your strong and saving name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Consider giving to Southeastern Seminary online or visiting us for a preview day. For information on how to give or sign up for a preview day, visit sebts.edu.